Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's time
to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone
with the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al,
Zane,
and Brian.
So let's take a look at this game. Let's first look at 49ers offense versus the Cowboys defense. And so when you talk 49ers offense, you got to start with Brock Purdy, right? You know, the dominant storyline, at least in the second half of the NFL, to me, the dominant storyline right now, the rookie seventh round quarterback who is leading this team that has absolutely has a Super Bowl winning caliber roster. And I know one of the things to touch on, and I'm going to let you go here, is all of a sudden, really just this week, we've started to see a lot of criticism of Brock Purdy's game. And I know that you wanted to touch on that. So I'm going to give it to you. The floor is yours, Zane. What is going on here?
So a lot of the national media, and again, we don't expect these folks to understand really what's going on here because they'll cover this team for a few weeks out of the year. They're not like Matt Barrows and Matt Maiocco and Jennifer Lee Chan and all the other great writers who were here in the Bay Area that cover the team on a day-to-day basis. They don't attend the practices. They don't see the progression from what Brock Purdy was at camp to what he is now and how he's ascended to what he is. The outside world, I'll call them, just sees a fun, cute little storyline of a guy who is basically lightning in the bottle and won't be able to maintain this because he has XYZ tendencies. Now, the reason I think that's a bunch of hogwash is because we're talking about a seventh round rookie who had zero first team snaps before the second half of the season, where he was thrust into the starting lineup against a then first place Miami Dolphins team, which was absolutely rolling after Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. And what has he done? I don't know. He's only had the most successful season out of any rookie 49ers quarterback ever. And one of the most successful seasons of any rookie ever. And he became the first quarterback to throw three touchdowns and run for another. He became the youngest quarterback to ever do that in the playoffs. So he is piling historical numbers right now. And you can't ignore that. And we've heard, oh, it's Kyle Shanahan's system that allows receivers to run wide open. Oh, he's getting away with a lot that he's not going to be able to get away with as we go further in the playoffs, according to Chris Sims. And to me, I just don't buy that. And that's not saying that I know more than a former NFL quarterback. That's me saying that it's not that simple, because if it were that simple, somebody would have stopped him by now. They've seen enough of him. They've seen half a season worth of games, essentially, and nobody's been able to stop him or even slow him down for that matter. People talk about the struggle of the first half, quote unquote, that he had in the first playoff game. The ball was wet. He had several throws get away from him. He identified the proper read. He made the throw and it got away from him. It's not a big deal. And he showed in the second half, conditions got better, he got better. So I'm not at all concerned about that. What bothers me the most is they're taking away credit from a kid who's done his homework, done the due diligence, that takes care of the ball. Do we hear the same criticism of Trevor Lawrence after he had a freaking four-pick game in the first half? Are people criticizing Trevor Lawrence like that? They're like, oh, hey, no, it's great. He won the game. He came back and he won the game, so all of the first half stats are irrelevant. No, they're not. Because you can't just cherry pick things and be like, oh, well, he did okay in the second half. No, it doesn't matter. Throughout the entirety of the game, even in the first half, Brock Purdy was fine. He was fine. He missed a couple of throws. Every quarterback misses throws. He didn't throw the ball to the other team. He didn't have a four interception game. Didn't fumble it. He was executing the offense. They piled up the most yards they had all season under him. So
yeah,
all of this criticism about Brock Purdy, all of this back and forth of who's going to get more credit for this. Is it Kyle? Is it Purdy? Is it the receivers and running backs, or who is it? Right. None of that should matter, because there have been several quarterbacks to go through this 49ers system, and countless quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan has had before this that have run his system. And very few, there's been one. There's been only one, Matt Ryan, who has run the system better. And that was 2016. So yeah, they can take all of that and they can shove it, because Brock Purdy is doing a hell of a job right now. And no amount of criticism and quote unquote film study from people saying that he's making this, that, and that the other mistake is going to take away from the fact that he is absolutely rolling, and he is undefeated as a 49ers starting quarterback up until this point and shows no signs of slowing down.
Well, and I think what irritates me is this push to diminish what Purdy is doing because Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, so the argument is, there's probably been 10 dudes on Twitter that have been in my mention saying I could run that offense and do exactly what Brock Purdy is doing. And that is such a disingenuous comment, because it is born out of ignorance, because mm-hmm. there have been plenty of quarterbacks that have put on the red and gold when Kyle was their play caller that has not been doing what Brock Purdy has been doing. Is he hitting mm-hmm. open receivers? Yes. Are they difficult throws? No. But let me tell you something. If your quarterback is consistently and routinely being relied upon to make difficult throws, aka throws into tight coverage or throws that are 25, 30 yards down the field, you know what your quarterback is? He is a victim of a shitty offensive coordinator. That's what he mm-hmm. is. And so Kyle Shanahan is a great offensive coordinator. Brock Purdy is running the offense the way that Kyle Shanahan drew it up. Jimmy mm-hmm. Garoppolo couldn't run it that way. In his limited sample size, Trey Lance couldn't run it that way. Nick mm-hmm. Mullins that way. CJ Beathard couldn't run it that way. Brian Hoyer couldn't run it that way. There have been mm-hmm. five other guys that could just step into this offense and do what Purdy is doing and haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do you give credit to the kid for doing this, because no one else has? And that's what's irritating to me is, yeah, anyone can do it. Well, then why haven't they? Why right. hasn't anyone else done it? Why hasn't anyone mm-hmm. else run it this way except for Matt Ryan in 2016? So these comments, right, that try and diminish what he's doing, oh, he's throwing to open receivers, or, oh, yeah, I'd be good too if all I had to do was you know, throw it 5 yards downfield. Brock Purdy is 17th in the NFL in completed air yards per reception. Do you know who that's better than? That's better than Jared Goff, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, Justin Herbert, and Kyler Murray. That's better than all those guys, right? Mm-hmm. 17th. If you want to talk about ADOT, average depth of target, Brock Purdy's ADOT is 6.6 yards. Patrick Mahomes' ADOT is 7.2 yards. Okay. Is that wildly better? Absolutely not. Zane, do you know who led the NFL in yards from yards after the catch in 2020, 2021, and 2022?
Debo?
That'd be Mr. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about quarterbacks. Oh,
yeah quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes led the NFL the past three seasons in yards from yards after the catch.
Got it. Yards from yards after the catch. I thought you meant just yards after the catch, right?
Yeah. Stop it with this nonsense that, like, Purdy is just running this offense that is idiot-proof. Because it's not. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen plenty of people act like idiots behind or under center in this 49ers offense. And you know, get us nowhere, right? And so, mm-hmm. I mean, eventually you've got to give the kid his flowers because mm-hmm. he's doing something that no one else that has strapped that helmet on for the 49ers has done. And you want to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, once he had Christian McCaffrey, right? This offense was scoring 26 points a game with mm-hmm. Brock Purdy. If you include that Seattle game, this is scoring 34.5 points per game, 8.5 points more. That is not an accident. That mm-hmm. is not a fluke. That is a kid who is running this offense the way that the offensive genius wants him to. And he's been incredible. And so I can see that our buddy Akash has joined us. We're gonna let him jump in to this conversation. Akash, we are talking right now about what is going on with all these people criticizing Brock Purdy's play or diminishing his play because he plays within Kyle Shanahan's offense. What is your take on what Purdy has done and whether or not it is quote unquote impressive, if you will?
I just think it's his ability to operate the offense. And I don't understand why we always got to give credit to one to take away from someone else. I think Kyle Shanahan's doing a good job of drawing up plays. I think the 49ers are as talented as anyone on the offensive side of the ball. And Brock Purdy is finding the right players to hit at the right time. And ultimately, he's playing point guard. He's doing what he's asked to as well as he is, and he's creating out of structure. So I think you can kind of spread the credit around, and it doesn't need to be all at one on one player. And I think his draft status is probably skewing people's perception of what he's been doing.
Yeah, yeah, Brock Purdy was a first-round pick. People will be losing this with how well he's playing right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because the first-round picks get so much more leeway. And I feel like I've been picking on Trevor Lawrence because of his game, his first playoff game. And I feel bad because, yeah, like that's kind of like my go-to right now. But I feel like if, to your point, Brian, if he was drafted in the first round, there would be more leeway for him to make mistakes. But now because he's a seventh-round rookie and so many people, I guess, feel like they, quote-unquote, missed the boat on that, they feel justified to be able to criticize him as a result. And I just think it's totally unfair. But thanks for joining us, Akash. Backstory. So Akash and I have known each other for several years now. You know, back when you were in Seattle and back when you had – 1,000 followers and not the 10,000 plus that you have now. Like Akash is one of my good friends. And thank you so much, man. I know it was short notice, but thank you so much for joining us today. It's awesome to have you.
No, man. I appreciate you guys for having me. I know I did this with Brian and Alan. I think you missed out last time. And then this time it looks like Al's out. So
I'll come back again. The one constant.
I was going to say, Brian's the only one that shows up every time.
Right, he's like Brock Purdy. He shows up every single time. Right,
I'm the new guy. I gotta prove my worth.
And we kind of spent the first part of the show, Akash, talking about this matchup against Dallas and how while it will be a tougher test than what we had with Seattle, this is a game that the 49ers could and probably should win because it feels like the better team. And I don't know if I'm alone in feeling this way, but it seems like Dallas was the same team as they were last year for the most part, with the exception that Tony Pollard is now the focal point running the ball as opposed to Zeke Elliott. But I feel like it's one of those situations where they're almost the same. So do you feel the same way where it's almost the same matchup, but with the exception that the Niners have kind of taken a step up with the addition of Christian McCaffrey and Purdy?
Kind of, yeah. I think if we start, you know, on the 49ers offensive side of the ball against the Cowboys defense, I think the matchup there is along the offensive line and the Cowboys defensive line. I think that's where that matchup is going to be decided. Cowboys defensive line, second in adjusted sack rate. They're second in sacks. I mean, they have 54 this season. Obviously, Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, they've just got a lot of talent. And the 49ers offensive line has done a pretty good job pass blocking this year. I think they're third in PFF's pass blocking efficiency. They've generally held up outside of a few Mike McGlinchey plays. And that's going to be the big test. Can they hold up long enough to give Brock Purdy enough time? Because if they do, I don't think the Cowboys secondary can hang with what the 49ers have on the outside. I said the other day, the Cowboys are 32nd in DVOA defending wide receiver two. And I just think that's, it's going to be difficult for them to be able to stop Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell. The 49ers just have a lot more firepower on offense this season compared to last year. And then Cowboys defensively, it starts up front with that pass rush just like it did last season. And if the 49ers offensive line can find a way to neutralize that, then I think, you know, everything rolls from there. I think the 49ers offense, what, they've had 37 in four straight games. They've averaged, I think, like over 30 points since Christian McCaffrey's arrived. I think they're going to be hard to stop for any opponent. So I don't expect them to I don't expect Dallas to have much success on that side of the ball. I do think if we flip it over to the Dallas offense versus the 49ers defense, there are some matchup advantages there. I think the 49ers have had a leaky run defense here, right? They gave up a ton, not a lot of yards, but a lot of yards per carry to Josh Jacobs, obviously Kenneth Walker last week in the first half. And I think Tony Pollard, same thing. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry. He's had a ton of explosive runs. He's a home run hitter. And I think the emphasis is going to be able to stop Tony Pollard and force Dak Prescott to throw the ball. And it's going to start with that. And I think Dak, obviously, is coming off of a solid game last week. It's probably as well as he's ever played this season, I think. And so the question becomes, is that, you know, have they like turned a corner, or is that just Dak playing, you know, a bad Tampa Bay Bucks defense who just looked like they were ready to go to Cancun? So we'll find out. I think the 49ers defense has been more opportunistic as of late. I don't think they've been as shut down over the last maybe month or so. It's been more of they've given up points, they've given up yards, but they've found ways to come up with key stops and key turnovers. That's going to be the case again. Obviously, Prescott leads the league in interceptions. Niners defense leads the league in interceptions. I think a key turnover here or there could be just the difference in this game. On both sides. But just like you started off the question, I think these two teams are very similar to where they were last year. I think the 49ers are healthier, obviously a little bit more explosive on offense now, but similar matchup, just kind of the reverse at Levi's.
Before we look at that 49ers versus Dallas offense, the one thing I did want to say, throw out a prediction. I already threw it out on Twitter, but here. Last matchup, Brandon put eggs in a blender multiple times. And I fully expect that to happen again. So just like last year, Ayuk will put Diggs in a blender, but unlike last year, his quarterback is actually going to find him at least once when he does that. And that's not me throwing shade at people. I'm simply saying that there was at least one time where if Jimmy Garoppolo would have just thrown the ball to Brandon Ayuk, they'd have gone up 30-7 at that point, and that game would have been over. So I think that's going to happen again. I think Ayuk is going to have a big game. Like you said, Akash, Dallas struggles defending wide receiver two. And, I mean, technically that is Brandon Ayuk on this team, unless they're in 21 personnel with Deebo in the backfield, at which point Ayuk becomes wide receiver one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.